that for, in fact, to get that consolidation and better returns on investment that can come from consolidation, as I'll try to explain as I go through them, including with respect to the legislation that is stronger within environmental affairs than water affairs for the types of work that we do. But that said, we've always been programs that have cut across the mandates of different departments. And we've worked in a way that is a cooperative governance approach, particularly for environmental affairs, water affairs, and agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, but also other departments, as I'll get to, like working on fire, working with cooperative governance and other departments. And that continues. So when we, you know, the name Working for Water came from the fact that one of the major benefits of doing the clearing of invasive alien plants in particular is the water security implications, water quantity and water quality. But it's now in environmental affairs, but we still very much work with water affairs as well in how we try to prioritize what work gets done. The Working for Water program started in 1995, so I think when you talked about the CAMEL, which is very well adapted to its environment, of course, but when you talk about the CAMEL, we were part of the CAMEL problem, if you like, because we actually started at the beginning of what is now the EPWP. And the focus there was on invasive alien species. In the slide that tries to address the main questions that were put by the chair that you wanted information on, but what I'd like to do is just go to the slide. Now, we had a much longer presentation, as the CEO had said, but trying to give a context to why we're doing this work. So it's one thing to say that we are trying to create jobs, and of course we are. But it's also vitally important that the work that we do actually is work that makes a difference. And as I'll try to explain, in this particular focus area and all of them, they do make extraordinary differences. In fact, without doing them, there is no prospect of long-term livelihoods and economic development at the scale that we need in our country. This particular slide shows the extent of the problem of invasive alien plants, the estimate that was done in 2010. The darker the color, going towards red, the bigger the problem. It's covering about 20% of the country. But the nature of invasive species, or these are species that have come into our country from other parts of the world, do not naturally occur here. Some of them are able to outcompete our indigenous species and spread and grow. So when you have a situation like that, all those light green areas will become dark red if we do nothing about them. And in fact, a lot of those areas that are blank at the moment will also be invaded. So you have a scenario where entire systems can be invaded. And the next slide, please. And this is an old slide of ours that we've used quite often about the impact of invasives just on water security and water quantity specifically, where you have a scenario of 1,200 millimeters of rainfall in the catchment. You have those runoff figures that are in the bottom and rather small, but 472 millimeters is what would be measured. And if we take that to be 100%, with a light infestation, the cost to clear in those days would be 100 rand per hectare. As you move to a denser invasion, that cost goes up 40-fold. The impact on water, just water, is a 74% reduction in water. The current estimate is that 7% of our water is lost to invasive alien plants, and that figure could rise very dramatically as the next slide shows. Now the next slide, if I could have it please, is a remarkable slide in terms of some research that's recently been done by the CSIR and they tried to, there's that 7% that I mentioned, they looked at the impact that invading avian plants are having on the body of water. And the second bullet is saying that the potential reductions would be more than 8 times greater if invasive avian plants were allowed to spread and occupy the full potential of their range. You can imagine for water security that there's actually no other impact that, that frankly could be as big as that if those figures are true. And what's more remarkable is what they're coming up with, what is the value of the work that we've been doing? And the estimates are that it's saving 35 billion rand per year in water, water and biodiversity and grazing or productive use of land. The total they estimate is 453 billion, of which 400 billion relates to water. Now, let me say, I think these are, to be honest, no, I don't. I think a lot of it comes back to how you estimate the value of that water, because it's yield versus runoff. As an environmental affair, well, it's not me. I'm happy to say this. These are scientists at the CSIR. So this is what they are saying. I think the point more than the figures is that there's a huge return on investment, and if we don't do this, we are going to face absolute crises. When we have the situation of quite rightly a big concern around infrastructure for water, if we do not protect the catchments and the availability of water to go into those dams in the first place, then we might be putting a cart before the horse. Now, the Working for Water program started up. Okay, I didn't see. That's all right. The next, you can just show it quickly, but that's just a historical estimate of the, not an estimate, the figures of the budgets that we've had over the years and the expenditure. And you can see that this is a program that has had a history of spending its budget. Even in the first year of democracy, we spent 99% of our budget in that financial year, which was the only program of government that was able to do so. Next slide, please. Those are the key performance indicators of the person days, the beneficiaries. Once again, you can do the arithmetic on how many person days of work people get, the concern that was raised and with which I agree. The hectares cleared and the hectares follow-up. The follow-up is there's no point going and clearing hectares if you're not going to do that follow-up work and ensure that the work is maintained. It goes back to being invaded and you lose all the benefits. It's in fact fruitless expenditure. Next slide, please. So there are different components. I think we're missing some pages here. But different components to the program, and I'll come back to why this is so important when I talk about the evolution of the Working for Wetlands program. But we have a Working for Land sub-program, which is dealing with the rehabilitation of degraded land. And the kind of situation that you have in the bottom there, a picture which is in Setakuni in Limpopo, this massively degraded land which has huge environmental impacts, with productive use of land impacts, water impacts, dams that built up in next to no time, and forcing rural people to leave the land because there is no livelihood for them on the land. And a lot of this is going back to saying how can we restore this land in a labor-intensive way and maintain that restoration through the land use practices that apply. And the top picture is a remarkable one. You can see the fence line there where the goats have eaten all the spickworm on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side, you have an intact Now, this system is hugely productive in terms of carrying capacity for browsers like Rhino, Black Rhino, and elephants and kudu and other species, and through that the tourism and hunting opportunities. So it's actually tying into the wildlife economy that I'll talk to in a moment as well. But there are also very significant water benefits by restoring the system, and there are even very significant carbon credits that can be gained from this. So it really is a win-win initiative in many ways, and this is something that we've been doing for several years now, particularly in the Eastern Cape is the focal area. Next slide, please. We have a Working for Forests sub-program. Now, of course, we were water affairs and forestry in our previous lives, and the department will be the Deputy Director General in Forestry asked us to work with them and deal with this because this was much more our field of expertise, and particularly the conversion of wattle jungles into plantations. So this is another initiative that is under the umbrella of NRM or will be the environmental programs, creating jobs for people that will deal with what is a big problem in terms of water, in terms of fire, in terms of biodiversity, turning it into plantations that can either be used for poor rural communities where they have a need for that biomass, or for the saw log industry where there's a great shortage in our country. So once again, instead of converting new land to forestry, we could take that land which is suitable and have it converted into plantations. Next slide, please. The wildlife economy program is something that is linked to our biodiversity and conservation branch led by Fundisile Mkhitheni, and he's seeing here an enormous scope for how we look at current land use practices, what those are likely to be in terms of climate change as well, so with the impacts on water, on temperature and disease being a big aspect on fire, that some of the current land use practices are already suboptimal compared to having a wildlife economy, and that will be exacerbated by climate change and habitat destruction and invasions. So the program that's getting underway now and will link very strongly to the people and parks focus that was in SRP is to look at these opportunities and say, by changing land use practices, can we improve broad-based black economic empowerment, food security, land reform, and the ecosystem services once again? So the footprint of the land use practice is going to be so much more gentle and an important opportunity cost, important opportunities for other land use practices to use the water and so on that is been lost through the current land use practices. The next slide, please. The Working for Energy Biomass Program, also something that we're really just starting now, but in meetings that we've had with Eskom and with the IDC in particular, there are huge opportunities to take this biomass and use it for the generation of energy. So we get rid of the invasives and all the negative impacts that they have, and we create huge numbers of jobs at the same time helping to deal with a green approach to energy with the energy issues. Our estimate for this specific thing is that we could deal with 2% of the current needs of the country for a period of about 25 years. We could create probably three times as many jobs as Working for Water is currently creating, and we get these things. The marginal cost of doing this work is significantly less than the marginal cost of coal-fired power stations. So it really, again, the points I'm trying to make here is that these aren't make-work things. These are things that would make a great deal of economic sense to our country. Eskom, IBC are very interested in terms of Eskom. They're saying that possibly there could be 10% of the coal that's currently used could be replaced by biomass for the period when biomass is still available. This is still something that is evolving into, I think, what will become a very big program. Next slide, please. The eco-furniture factory is also something that's small at the moment, but we do have an application into the Jobs Fund for, and we are through at least three of the stages. Hopefully we will get budget. What we're hoping to do is to create 18 new factories across the country. I've got a figure there of 100 people. In fact, the figure that we're targeting now is 160 people per factory. And we're making products from invasive wood, again, that are a big problem for water, for fire, for biodiversity, for erosion, for all the negative impacts that invasives have, and turning it into products that government needs, and at the same time creating significant numbers of jobs, and jobs at actually very competitive prices. The kind of school desk that you see, and if you saw the Cape Times this morning, there's a picture of a protest yesterday saying something along the lines of we must have infrastructure for schools as well. Now, whether the figure is true or not, I cannot say. I think it's an overestimate, but it was reported in Parliament that there's a shortage of 7 million school desks. We are making school desks already, and we can make what's called a single double combination. It's both a chair and a desk, as you can see. It's got a little lift-up component, and so when you have overcrowded classrooms, it's actually you have to go into the design of this enormously carefully as to how you can fit all the pupils in and how you can fit all the bags and everything in. And we can make a desk like that in the region of about 400 rand. In most cases, as desks that are being bought are nowhere near the quality of what we're doing. This is made out of river red gum. It's so heavy that we can't transport them as desks. We transport them as kits. And it was an unexpected benefit that we found that by having the learners actually assemble the desks, there's a sense of ownership that we hadn't thought about that might have an influence. We're hoping on the vandalism problem that you do get in schools. And maybe I'm going on too much about it, but the point is we can make a lot of products that we need. The coffins, we haven't done well with the coffins yet. We could sell every single coffin. We can make a coffin for 230 rand, a basic coffin. But what we're trying to do is reduce the cost of bereavement for the poor. By establishing these factories across the country, one of our big difficulties has been transport and getting the coffins when people need them. So we're hoping, and it's not just coffins, it's bears, it's dealing with across the faith-based organizations with whom we work with the cost of bereavement for the poor. The benches, that was actually a bench that was made for the former minister, Ronnie Castrell's wife, Eleanor, when she died. It's at Kirstenbosch, made out of river red gum. Again, it's a bench. I think I'm being pushed on. So those are all the kinds of projects. I just want to show the chess desk, because I really love this concept of a multi-purpose desk for schools or wherever, but what we've built in is chess tables, and it actually was inspired by the president, who was saying the importance of chess and cognitive development of children. And so we're making these things, and we think that that's going to change things in schools, opportunities for not just chess, but various other games that will be built in. Thank you. And then the Working for Wetlands program, and the reason I put this in here is that Working for Wetlands started in Working for Water, as did Working on Fire and a lot of other programs. But it was always an afterthought when we were running it and working for water. And only when we transferred it to environmental affairs, actually under SRP, and implemented through, very well through Sandby, that it became, I think, the fully-fledged and excellent program that it is. And it really is an excellent program. That top picture there, you see the Krom River, a portion of it being washed away because wetlands were not managed. And because of that, all that silt now is in the Churchill Dam that supports the Nelson Mandela Metropole, instead of having it as productive land. And we know with climate change, once again, that you're going to get more episodical rainfall, you're going to get all these negative impacts around water quantity, around flooding, around disease management, and water quality is a major aspect because the wetlands are often referred to as the kidneys of our natural systems, filtering the water and purifying our water. But the point I was trying to make with this slide is that all of these other programs need to become fully fledged programs in their own right when they're on the tails of working for water. They do not get the attention that they should. We do have integration of the program, so in terms of the planning and the management and so on. But it's I think the proof of the pudding comes out in the returns on investment that are shown from the individual interventions. Rectify that situation. And it comes from early days of the program and
experience of how we look at anything, and the targets that we do have as EPWP across race, gender, disability, and youth. The next slide, please. Then we have the figures for this was until the end of December, and I couldn't put in because we haven't verified the figures for the end of December. So what I've put in is the estimate for the end of the of this financial year, and you can see that the expenditure, as was estimated when the slide was done, and probably even slightly lower than that now. We haven't had a good year this year. It's been a transition of moving from one department to another, and we can go into some of the difficulties that do take place, I think, when you move from one department to another. But I do think that we've reached the point now where we are at an equilibrium and meeting the norms and standards and the clean audit requirements and so on of the department, and should be able to meet our targets in the future. We can come back to that if you will. The Working on Fire program is then a separate program. It's a very specialized program, and I have given a presentation on Working on Fire to the committee before. It actually started with that terrible picture in the top there, where four of our workers were killed in that vehicle, working for water workers, trying to flee a fire. Nine of them went and lay in the river, but there wasn't very much water in the river because of all the invasives, and they singed their lungs in that process. And Jill Marcus, I saw this morning, and myself went to see these people in hospital, and the pain they were in was, I couldn't stand it. And we started that program partly influenced by that, the Uka Buka campaign that some of you might know that we started here in Cape Town, and then dealing with the problems of wildfires. Our focus is specifically on wildfires and not on structural fires. Next slide, please. And again, I've put in something that tries to show the value of the program. This is a statement from the then CEO of Forestry South Africa. In the fires of 2007, they estimated that the damage just to the forestry industry was $3.675 billion, and they said, were it not for Working on Fire, that would be at least double. Our budget at the time was $123 million, and as I said there were 32 deaths in that fire, a great deal of agriculture damage and other structural damage in those fires that occurred. This is simply the figure. And the point again is that this isn't make work. This is work that is vital. The program is, you can see the budget again for 2011. The expenditure, the Working on Fire program has always been its budget. The person days of employment and so on. We do have aviation, so you see the helicopters flying around there. That obviously is a huge expense for a poverty relief program, but you have to have them if you want to the outcomes that we are trying to achieve. I just want to mention the percentage women, because it might be just that it's low. It's something that we're focusing on very strongly. But I think Well, the fitness, you know, you have to run 2.4Ks in 12 minutes, and if you can't do it, you're fired. And it's a...
Looking at my committee,
these people have, it's extraordinary the change that you get in the dignity of people working in this program. And the discipline is very strict. The sense of achievement in what they're doing is quite remarkable. I do want to say the figure for women, although it's well below the target for EPWP, The next best figure that I know of in the world of women firefighters is 1/30. So that you, I think you need to look at it with that balance. I still believe they should be able to get their targets. I don't believe it's an excuse, but it is better than anything else that's going on. Those are the figures. Once again, we don't have verified figures. We can send you our monthly reports that we get, which are very detailed. Tell you what the attrition levels are, all the key performance indicators that we get on a monthly basis. But that again is the estimate that we have for the financial year. We are expecting to spend the full budget and achieve, you know, it's been a good year for working on time. That's the MTS budget, so we've been well treated by Treasury or government in the additional baseline that was given to the Waking Up Fire program. Those are the incentives, and then there are opportunities also from the Jobs Fund, and also we need to bring in private sector contributing more than they are to creating jobs to fight fires. And we don't know what those figures are yet, but there will be figures in there. In all the natural resource management programs, and in fact all the environmental programs generally for the department, the focus is on unemployed people. We are looking to address the most marginalized. If you look at government's State of the Nation address, if you look at the National Planning Commission, the focus on unemployment and reducing inequity. This is what our programs, SRPP and NRM, are doing. And within that, we're trying to deal with as many of the social development opportunities for people. So it's not just jobs, it's jobs that can help people to grow. And that's partly why I chair this creating jobs for 85 person days per person per year on average. I do want to say it is a bit of an underestimate. Firstly, some people do come in, particularly in Waking Up Fire, they come in and they find that it's tough, much tougher than perhaps they thought, and they leave quickly, but we still have to count them in terms of our average. The other thing, as Lisa mentioned, is that there are people who are not counted. So in the Waking on Fire program, as an example, all of your crew leaders, and we have two levels of crew leaders, are paid above 150 Rand. They are not counted. There are 143, I think it is, staff people who owe their jobs to the fact that there's an EPWP that are not counted. And I think if you put those figures in, you'd get a better idea of what it really costs to create a job. And I would have thought, as our leaders and Treasury and others, that's what you want to know. What does it really cost to create a job or a person you have worked through programs such as this? For the environmental programs as a whole, this is, again, slightly old. The notification didn't come in time for me to change this. There has been 83 million taken specifically off Working for Water for 2012-13. That's to cover the support services that are paid for by the department, and in fact would have been part of our budget. In any event, we would have had to deal with a lot of those costs anyway. So the figures that you would have are slightly, I'm talking just 2012-13, that sort of figure being taken off of each of those 3 years. It's under SRP. Yeah. And what, as it says at the bottom, we are now, and as our DG has just said, we are forming all of these into one branch. We are amalgamating the programs and the projects, and there will be three main foci that we will have through the new branch. The Waking for Water program, partially because of the specialization, but also just because of the sheer magnitude of the program. the natural resource management programs and the environmental protection infrastructure programs. And then finally, just the opportunities for the programs. We do work on the basis of incentives, disincentives, advocacy and research. I think anything that you want to achieve, you have to use all of those components. And it's essential that we do use them all. And particularly, we need to be using the law more than we are doing, and comes down again a bit later, because it relates specifically to what this committee and what Parliament and, of course, our department can do to optimize the returns on investment. We need to understand better the returns on investment. So we are doing these things, but we really need to understand, is it better to go and peer investigate in France and the catchment to go and put a desalination plant in Russell Bay or whatever? What are the real returns on investment when you do these things? And who pays and who benefits? So we know that these are targeting the poor. To what extent is that important when you put in that into your returns on investment? We do a lot of work with resource economists in trying to understand this and the nature of the work. The planning and prioritization of the work is important. I don't think that we've got that right. Yes, it's very complicated stuff. But we really do need to work on things that really matter. For example, you have emerging species that if you can get them quickly, and talking looking for water now, you would save literally billions of rands if you could prevent them coming into the country in the first place. But secondly, if they came, if you could deal with them, rather than waiting for them to become a problem and spending huge amounts of money. And then the appropriate balance between the programs is also a difficult decision. How much should you spend on one, how much on the other? The institutional arrangements and the structures are something that we've been working on very diligently with the Department of Environmental Affairs to try to come up with an optimal structure and then the management capacity within that. You have to have management and it has to be appropriate management to do this work. The norm standard systems and procedures we quite hung up on. It's one of the things that you mentioned around duplication. There has been duplication, and when there's duplication but not common norm standard systems and procedures, you can get inefficiency. And we believe that we should be, as a national department, driving those, and we do work through municipalities, for example, to try to ensure that these are always met. Data management and reporting, I think it's been an area that working for water specifically, not working on fire, needs to improve on. We have to have the data or else we don't know what we're doing. Discipline, in all aspects of risk management, accountability, I think it's quite obvious that these things are important if there is to be an honouring of responsibilities that we've been given. The optimizing of work opportunities and meeting the targets by gender, age and disability. So we really do try to look at every way in which we can use the money that is given to us to create jobs for poor people. And within that, to focus on areas. There's a tendency, for example, I think generally still to not give enough attention to disability and what is being done generally across the economy or across government. The definitions of who qualifies, I've mentioned that, and Lindsay did mention that. It seems that we've got it over at least the beneficiary side. We still do not have the staff being put down as actual jobs that are created. I wouldn't be here if there wasn't an EPWP. The funding issue, of course, is the capacity to do so much more, as I was mentioning, for example, with the biomass project and many others. Appropriate legislation and its enforcement. I think, Chairperson and honourable members, this is an area that could really change the nature of all of these programs if we could have appropriate legislation in place and enforcement. there's fires that burn that just shouldn't burn. The invasives that go that shouldn't go, the wetlands that are destroyed that shouldn't be destroyed. And we really do need your assistance in not only getting the right doors, but getting them through quickly. These things are taking a long time. An understanding and appreciation of the need of the interventions by the public, I put that in because there's no way that we'll ever succeed with these interventions unless we have the public with us. It cannot be going to war with the public. It's working with the public to deal with the problems of invasives or land degradation or wetland degradation or waste management or any of these areas. A championing of our work by our leaders, and I think we've been extremely fortunate. We've been extremely fortunate, I think, in the support we've had from when we started Working for Water and across all of the programs, including SRP, in the support that we've had, and including from yourselves as portfolio chairs all the years. And then finally, cooperative governance. These are programs that cut across the mandates. We need to work with our sibling departments. We need to work across the spheres. It's about outcomes and not to invest in about empire. Thank you very much. And that's a picture of you guys.
One of the chairs just to grovel. Yeah. Well, thanks to Andrew for that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thank you for the, your presentation. I think regarding the waking on the fire, I saw this page 30. Page 31, you forced this presentation is job funders. You put the question mark job fund. So this means this one you restore request the fund. It's a fund. What fund for you, Chris? For WOF. Then I think it's my question is for the page 30. You say your total budget is from the EPWP plus the wage incentive. And 2010-11, you say plus others. Then 2011 and 12, you don't plus the others. So I'd like to know EPWP in your total is this budget is how many percent is in this budget from the EPWP. So you 2011 and 12 for this full time equivalent, this is not verified. And you got this one is the estimate is 4,884 jobs. Then job opportunity is 4,926. So end of the year, you haven't got any the right this amount. Say is how many is for this job opportunity. Even you already target the job opportunity, but why you put the not verified? I don't understand. Because this one already calculated the inside. Then this per day, this cost per FTE, this cost per FTE, what cost per FTE, how much you pay? It's paid 80 rand for the period, I think SPR, the mention for the 2011, 2010, how much? 75, 80, 85. I want to know from this one is how much pay for FTE for the personal day. So, because this one for your FFT is the store the confusion to me. If we look in the, this is page 28. Page 28, you cost per FTE, this under this presentation. Yeah? There also stored the waking on this waking on the for the water 2011 and 2012. So number of people you already mentioned is 20,000. Then your estimate is 24,000. So but unfortunately you still unverified for the full time equivalent. How many is end up? You already have the this number of people, but you haven't got the right this amount for the FTE. But you also already have the cost per FTE. Is the total U.S. estimate is 83,000. Is 83 rand or 83,000 rand? Because you put this one, it didn't look like 83,103 rand. Yeah, it's 83,000 rand. So this is per personal day. Per person day. Per person day for year. So this one divided for the 230 day, so it's cost of this person. But my question is, so the stem the first presentation I asked you, because it's person day, not anywhere highlight, this including for the temporary work, because it's a lot of temporary work. Your person day, like a chairperson asking a question, this person day is too many people don't understand. You say you want to divide for 230 day. Is actually is a person day, but there is no. You haven't got the correct for the is very right for the figure for the inside, because person day is very good for talking to everybody. I have the 1 million, 2 million person day, so I think this one is for this all the presentation. I confusion for your total is FTE is how much for you pay, and the EPWP support to the this department. Its budget is how much? Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. I'm actually not going to ask a question. I just want to make a comment. Unfortunately, that's right. And that's to say, there are a couple of things I've got out of this question. I'm sure there are lots of questions we can ask about details and all of that. But what I appreciate from the presentation is one is the frankness of it, which I appreciate, particularly the DDG. I think the DDG has been frank about the problems, and that indicates to me a division of this department that doesn't have anything to hide, and is thoughtful about the future. And in that sense, I mean, I personally, I can't speak on behalf of the committee. Your controls seem very, very good. And in that sense, I think you should be rewarded with more funding, from the Treasury for these. I'm a big supporter of it, both from the point of view of the work opportunities created. I'm not... A lot of people get upset about public works programs because they create work opportunities. The reality is that, I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to do just that. I think the use of the equivalent, of a permanent job is exactly the right thing to do. It's a good, very good indicator. So I appreciate that. You're not in the business of creating permanent jobs. I'm sure there are plenty, and I've heard them before, plenty of fantastic stories where your people have received work opportunities that have gone on to be small contractors anyway and creating businesses. And so there are lots of positives about this. And not to mention, I know Mr. Dr. Person is very passionate about this. At the same time, there are massive environmental benefits from this. And I appreciate the thoughtfulness about actually the kind of rand economic benefits of the environmental interventions we make. And yes, these things are hard to work out, and I accept it. But the value of ecosystem services is something which we're only getting into now in South Africa, and I know Sandy wants to put a lot of work into it. And that is good, and I think I know Treasury probably doesn't appreciate these arguments as much as Dr. Preston does in terms of the values that we get out of out of ecosystem services, but I certainly do, and I'm sure many of the colleagues on the committee do. I'm sure there's problems here and there, like there are with anything, but I am very appreciative, and I get it. What I like is a sense of control about it. I mean, you guys kind of know what's going on, and you can drill down, and I think you deserve praise for that. But I thank the DDG for the frankness, and I also want to pay tribute to Dr. Preston. You know, during my recess, I read prodigiously. You know, one of the books I read was Kara Asmal's autobiography, Politics in My Blood, which I commend to any of you. It's a very good piece of writing. And Dr. Preston features in that book and features very prominently as having been the genesis of this particular project. And so, Dr. Preston, I'm sure many people, you know, there aren't enough opportunities for public representatives to thank people for their work, but I certainly thank you for what you do, and thank everyone in the department for this particular project. It's very, very important, and the environment thanks you, and I'm sure the thousands of people, whether they have, quite frankly, one day or 230 days or beyond, will benefit in some way. So thank you very much, and that's all I'm going to say, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me first start by concurring with my colleague, Honorable Morgan, to say the presentation was good and you have got a very good plans, and also even the control measures that are clear in your program. But what is important that I want to ask, particularly from Nomzi, you indicated that you do have many projects on waste management throughout the country, but I want to know your plan of expanding these projects to cover almost the whole country, because I know this program, it must roll out to cover even the other municipalities. I know that you do have projects in other municipalities. When you say in the country, every piece of land has got a municipality. Now, is there any plan of action to roll out your project to cover all the areas? And what is your time frame then in terms of the years? Is there any time frame set, in fact, put forward to deal with this rollout plan? Thank you.
In fact, my question, Chair, is an addition to what Mr. Skosana has just asked.
No, you've got this in the book, we mustn't ask the very same question.
You did mention the fact that one of your objectives is to develop SMMEs. Now, my question is, what criteria do you use in selecting these enterprises? Because I imagine you can't get a company from Eastern Cape to come and work in Limpopo when there are small Langana companies also in Limpopo that you might develop. And I'm someone who reads various newspapers every day, but I haven't seen an advert from environment saying people calling for proposals for this project, or maybe making an advert saying people should come and bid for this project. I haven't seen that. So how do you select these companies who are doing business with the department? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Colleagues have already congratulated the presenters here. I'll just follow suit. On page 28 and 29, we have a lot of information not verified. And I think this information has some financial implications. How do you, or maybe what does it take for you to verify information? Because if the information is not verified and it has the financial application, it opens up to corruption. And on the management of open spaces, whereby you initiate parks for the communities, the real situation is that in municipalities, open spaces are sold to developers for property development. And some of those spaces have some, medicinal plants and other indigenous plants. How would you measure your, impact of your intervention in that area? That we really preserve the spaces for recreational facilities, the parks, as you say, and also preserve our medicinal plants. And on the Working on Fire program, is there maybe any chance a strategy for you to be proactive and stop the fires before they take place? Because so many lives are lost whenever this thing happens. Thank you.
The business person here has been saying I mustn't talk. So, yeah, thank you very much, Chair. Chairperson, as my colleague have already alluded, you know, this is part of my heart to see people trying, creating jobs for others. I wanted to say through our visit, when we visited Smangaliso, that wetland, we have learned a lot. I want to report here that I have assisted my municipality about the wetland because I didn't know in the first place what is wetland. I think for now they are busy. They have even informed the National Department about the issue of that wetland because many people were residing on that particular project. What I was going to say is just we'll, on our way we learn a lot and keep up the good work. There's no way when you are working. When you are not working, you won't get criticism. But when you are working, you will also get it. So keep up the good work that you are doing. We are there for you. I think when they can say we must vote for the what, I'm the first person to raise my hand. Thank you.
Our DG will sum up, and our COO here, so I'm sure will have some points. If I can just go through one by one and pass on to you as I do. On the first question on the jobs fund, the jobs fund is a budget that is being administered through the DBSA. They called for proposals. We did put in 13 proposals, of which 8 were related to Working on Fire. Some of them have not got past the first hurdle, but there are some that are still being considered, but they haven't got to those yet in terms of what has been awarded. So we don't know whether we would be getting funding for those. What we also did is really as a form of coordination with that was to work with the fire protection associations and to work with the provincial disaster management centres to have one integrated approach to things and not to have everyone going in with different aspects of dealing with wildfire management. So that coordination, because it's been raised as a concern, was actually dealt with. The EPWP is a percentage of the budget. What we're reporting on here is the report through our accounting officer to yourselves. So we only show the EPWP funding that comes through our accounting officer. In the reports offered to send to you, of the program that we have to look at, because we're responsible for all the work that's done. There is a small percentage of work that is done through from funding from GDART, in particular in Gauteng, the provincial department, and that is reported upon as well. But we cannot report it here because that would be double counting. So that must be reported through its own line. There's also work that's been done with Eskom, and that is currently done directly with the implementing capacity that Mr. Abrams, that the chair mentioned, is the CEO of that. And that is also not reported in our figures because it's not something for which our accounting officer is responsible. But the vast majority of funding that we're getting is spent, is coming from the EPWP. There's a caveat to that, in that what we show with the aerial funding is what we are paying for the helicopters. These helicopters are hugely expensive, and hugely expensive to run. And typically, we are seeking those who call out the helicopters to pay for the flying costs of the helicopters, as opposed to the standby costs, just to have that helicopter there. But once again, you know, we have all these figures if anyone wants to see them. You said there was a bit of confusion with the Working on Fire. No, before the verified was later, it was the full-time equivalent and the number of people and the job opportunities. The full-time equivalent is the person day is multiplied or divided, I beg your pardon, by 230. The job opportunities is the number of IDs, the number of different people, and what was showing the number of people employed was the actual number at the time. So, you know, there is attrition. There are people who leave the program, some of them after a short period of time, some because they get another job, in a better job elsewhere. But what that's showing, actually, is a very high number of person days per person per year. This is essentially full-time employment that is being run through this program. These are also trained, they're so well trained, the training is fantastic in this program, that we don't want to lose these people. They are highly trained people. If they go to be structural firefighting, which is a promotion for them because they earn much, much more money, then by, you know, that's well and good. We can certainly find people to replace them. But we don't want to lose these people, and we think that the number of people that we need for firefighters to deal with the problem of fire is vastly bigger than the numbers that we have. So we would, if we had the budget, we would recruit many more people. But that's the difference that I was trying to show with those particular figures. And then the cost for FTE, well, governments move to FTE and person days. They are actually the same thing. It's just one is a person year and one is a person day. But it's the cost of employing one person for 230 days of work is an FTE. And so it's a unit of measurement. It's a little difficult as a unit of measurement because if you take working on fire, working for wetlands, you know, when you deal with wetlands, you can have huge infrastructural costs. The gabions that you have to bring in, the engineers to do the specific work, that aspects of working for land, for example, don't have. So I think you've always got to look at these things relative to what would be against norms and standards an appropriate cost to be paying for things. But we need to measure these things, and obviously after 17 years you get to know what to expect. And if you have huge variation between projects, that comes up because we measure project by project as to what are the costs associated and what might be the reasons. There might be reasons for them. You know, to cut down a big gum tree on a riverbank is very much more expensive than cutting down a black wattle in the middle of the Veld. But nonetheless, these are figures that are lifeblood, to be honest. I must just comment on Mr. Morgan's kind comments, because we have a DG of extreme integrity, and that she knows that we still have a way to go to live up to some of those comments. So it would be wrong of me not to acknowledge that we have caused our new department a great deal of trouble, coming in as a huge program with the capacity that wasn't there to help to manage us, with systems that are different, with approaches that were different, and they've had to patiently try to regularize us. The COO has aged slightly during this process. So there is still quite a long way to go to be the program that I don't know what they were thinking when those comments were made, but to get those compliments from our DG and COO anyway. The question from Mr. Skasani, can you ask that?
I'm sure CEO and DG will probably comment on the waste issue, but there was a study that was done by the department to just do an audit of the waste needs all over the country, and that culminated into a plan. And last year we submitted a request to Treasury of about 2.5 billion, a request for funding, and I don't think we got a cent of that. So if it then delays, I mean, whatever plans you have to expand on your support to municipalities in terms of waste management, but I'll leave that, I mean, to DG. SME development, and here I'm going to try to talk specifics. In 2010, we advertised with a closing date of the 15th November, and we advertised to the national newspapers, Sunday Times, City Press, and two provincial papers in each province, calling for companies to submit proposals into a database of the department. And we went through a whole process of appointing implementers last year between March and April, and that was the result of that process. But to continue on that, we have got an open database in the sense that people can continue to submit proposals onto a database. We evaluate them, we put them onto a database, so that as we get projects and from time to time, we then get to appoint on that database. And that information is available in our website, and I'm sure we can direct to the right place on where you can get that. The second part is that last year we equally advertised for proposals on the National Youth Service Program with a closing date of the 15th of September, and for people to submit proposals, for the NYS, across the country. The third part, for the accredited training specifically, we advertised late in November last year with a closing date of 6th January this year, for providers of accredited training to submit proposals. And here, in that advert, we had a list of the skills programs for which you want, providers on. So we do advertise on the national papers, and we do even go to the provincial papers. And we take two papers, which, and I'm sure we can make that information available. It might be that you probably missed some of these things. We honestly do want to assist in SME development. It is our wish that the projects implemented in a particular province should be implemented by enterprises that come from that particular province. But it does happen from time to time that you get enterprises from other provinces. I know Northern Cape has fought with us quite a number of times, but we said to them, show up the enterprises that have the capacity to implement the project, and quite a number of times, they have not managed to provide that. The second or the last issue I want to talk to is the issue of the open space management. The unfortunate part is that we can't dictate to municipality what it should do with the land. If they decide to sell a piece of land, irrespective of what the piece of land had, it is a prerogative of the municipality. However, we are working with them, in particular in terms of the rehabilitation of areas where you have got illegal dumping into these open spaces, parks and all of those things.
we currently have programs across the country, and we can give details of those projects. But the only thing we can do is to literally, I mean, engage with municipalities. But I mean, if they decide to sell a piece of land, I'm not sure the extent to which as a department we can say no, you can't sell this because it has got this. But I'm sure the DG and the CEO, I mean, they can comment further on that. But we are working with them.
Thanks, Kanumzi. Just to finish off those questions, and I'd just like to add a point on this because I think it's a huge concern and should be a concern for the Portfolio Committee. One of the aspects that we've had with the Working for Energy program, we are going to be using invasive alien plants to generate energy, and that's a good thing. But there's also bush encroachment. Bush encroachment are indigenous species that are spreading and growing, normally at the moment as a result of bad farming practices, bad land use practices. But climate change is also going to change that. And there's a massive biomass, about 18 million tons of bush encroachment that could be used for generation of energy. And what we need to do is make sure that you don't have a scorched earth. You know, there's a REFIT, a renewable energy feed-in tariff, opportunity for people to take biomass and create energy, or to plant biofuels where there are the same impacts that you're concerned about, medicinal plants and indigenous plants. So I just want to highlight that there's the importance of this department and its work for the protection of biodiversity can't be underestimated from those new threats. I mean, we know that biofuels are a potential very big threat. I'd like to then, the verified information, all I was saying there is that we didn't have the right figures. We hadn't got the figures yet to put them in at the time of doing the presentation. Everything we do has to be verified. It's just we didn't have them when we are putting in the presentation. That's all. The strategy for prevention is a wonderful question to get from you, because it's Working on Fire is principally about prevention and truth. I mean, we do a lot of, when there's a fire, we obviously go out and help to fight that fire. But our main effort should be to stop negative wildfires happening. Now, it's important to also make the point that most of our systems need fire. And in fact, the amount of fire that we have in the country for healthy ecosystem functioning is too low. We need to have a lot more fire that needs to be controlled fire. And we also, it links back to invasives. So if you have a wildfire going through an area and there are invasives there, many of these species are adapted to fire and they will come back like hares on the dog's back, and the costs can be extraordinary. That fire that I showed with the burnt out vehicle, we have been working in that area, cost us 10 million rand extra because we weren't quick enough to get back there and do that clearing, that initial, that sprouting of millions of seedlings after the fire. And that's happening right now. The fires that happened in the Toys Kurf, we're going to try to estimate what that cost is and what the cost will be, because we won't be able to get there quickly enough unless we got emergency funding. But so with Working on Fire, it's about prevention. And we have in fact, I have a meeting this afternoon about this. We have a FireWise component to it, which is specifically dealing with rural poor areas and helping poor people to manage fire, to stop small fires becoming big fires, and to use fires appropriately for land management, because you do need to burn. And that's also coming in at a very low cost per person day of about 150 rand. So something that we could expand a lot of jobs and get the benefits, and it's prevention. It's like stopping an invasive species coming into the country and then not spending billions of rands one day trying to deal with it. And then finally, Chair, before your questions, I just want to make the point about East Mangaliso that our DG has intervened, and there's an extra 5.3 million rand that was given to East Mangaliso in this financial year to supplement the work that you guys are doing.
Because you're going to have a whole working out how much it costs if it's going down. Now it's 54 rand a job week. Once you start creating a whole infrastructure, each of them is a program that's going to have all the network, all their stuff. I mean, you know where you're going with it. Also, I'm not sure, you see, you can see what happens here. As you make the long, and the water working for water, land becomes easier, you create a tougher land, and then biomass becomes easier. Then you start making furniture. Now, once you see, that happened there and it happened organically and you were able to squeeze money out of treasury and get the public works program. Now, once the problem is past, you have to go and create a program in each area that is environment that is part of the social perspective. So that's what will happen, because you can see what happened. Now you need a sub-program for biomedical and infrastructure. Now it can become a full-fledged program, all of them. Well, I mean, a whole lot of stuff that goes with it. So, I really think we need to look through this very carefully. Obviously, we'll give input to it. And I can see logically why it's happening. I can see the logic. I mean, SPPR is part of the department. The now comes from all the different places he's come to suddenly now land here. Now, you have to do something with this. Now, how do you do it? Okay, so let's structure all the practical kind of way that we deal with the Department of Environment in one place, and so on. And then, now we want to do it, categorize that into three substructures, and then we're going to create, each sub-program is going to become a program. I mean, that's what I'm hearing as I sit here. So, I can see the logic of it, because if you want it in the department, there has to be a logic to it. And so on. So, what is going to happen? If I had to give you a prediction, I'm not good with predictions. I'm not anyway clairvoyant. But if I want to tell you what's going to happen with this, this is going to slowly but surely triumph. Because what happens if you start linking it to this extent from your public works programs, where there's a political statement that has been made in the public that we're going to create these jobs through there. When you start doing that, I can just see where you're going to go. You're going to have to fight now with every department for every little bit of this, and this is going to come from the rest of your budget. Again, that may be a good thing, it may be a bad, I'm not, you know, all I can see is where it's going to go. And in the end of the day, we then start creating all these sub-programs. I mean, one of the things that Dr. Preston explains to us, and I think quite rightly so, one of the reasons you don't work out the cost so easily is exactly because of the management and all those kind of costs that are incurred. New space that has been created. Each sub-program is now into a, each sub-program becomes a program. It needs space. It needs bosses. It needs, you know, management. It needs administrative staff and so on. So I would be very careful how we go with this. And I would rather, my tendency, my gut feeling is consolidate the good things we've got and strong and integrate that into the department. I mean, all the water stuff we've done and the fight and those, and then you start looking how you deal with these other. I mean, for me, you know, and a lot of these things should not be actually programs on their own. I mean, the things you build from the wood that's available from that we chop out, I mean, that's part of the products of the one thing. You shouldn't have a sub-program dealing with those stuff. I mean, you know, it's natural. So I say this because I want this thing to grow. I mean, I believe in the thing that Mom and Ganya are saying. Here is a space. But look at all the things that we're doing. I mean, even if I have to now honestly give a speech about this, I'll have to very carefully think how I'll make the speech. Because on the SPPR, I can't work it out from Dr. Preston's input, but from the SPPR, we've now worked out that probably it's on average of the jobs we created, is 50, the jobs that per person we've created is probably 51 days a year. I can see how some of that happens. In the water, working for water projects, I can see you clear a stream, you employ people to clear that stream, that job's over, you're not going to keep them employed there because, you know, there's not a job there. So I can see that they're going to work for a certain amount of days. But you're working for fire. I would imagine those people work full time or close to full time. I mean, you can't have firefighters that come in like twice a year or something. I mean, so so there I can imagine they are full time, but these others are not. So I can understand that. But in the end of the day, you know, part of what we do and how we perform is, do we consolidate and create the 51 days into more days? So do you want those people to be able to work more and have more of a sustainable job? Or do you want to actually create more people having jobs, but even actually lessening it than 51? I mean, those are very crucial policy decisions to make. I mean, we've worked out here how this whole scheme works. If you work for one day, then you get onto the books by one day. All that happens is you don't really see how it works until you work out later on and say, but how many days did they work for, and then you see it's 51 days on average. Obviously, those people that are full-time, the firefighters and those guys, I imagine, are more full-time. Of course, they push up those figures. So actually, you're going to have a big pool of people that actually work very few days, obviously on one project. And that's the nature of the beast, so that's fine. I think we should find more ways how to record that. I mean, I think we should record those people that are on permanent jobs, that are allowed to work all the time, separately from the ones that we deal in projects. You should keep statistics differently, else you won't get the proper picture. So I think there's a lot of, for me, as I say, I can see a lot of the logic in what you're wanting to, where you want to go with this. But in my own view, I think there, and I speak really for myself, the members can speak for themselves as well, but I can see red lights in a whole lot of areas. And we need to be careful. I mean, for example, I would want to hear you guys again. I mean, once we've consolidated Dr. Preston then into this one, and in project, what it's, Admin 6 or Project 6, what's it called? Program. Oh, you know, these names are so terrible. Program 6. Once you've consolidated that, I mean, what is their relationship in future to the public works program? I mean, is part of it going to be in public works, part of it not going to be in public works? How are we going to manage that? So, for me, the input, as much as I like you, this work, and as much as I appreciate what has been done, and as much as I appreciate even the inputs today, I must say to me, they're just questions. I mean, I have very little, few answers that I can see at the moment. I really just have questions. And as I say, these questions for me are all directed in a way how to make this thing better, not actually to make it worse and possibly die in the process. Because it's quite clear to me that although government has adopted these as programs and all those things are there, we're not even coming close to achieving those things because of the funding and things that are not there. So, you know, I really think that I think you should, guys, go and draw another input for us. Try and show how you're consolidating this so we can understand better how you consolidate. So then maybe we can engage a bit easier with you than what we're doing now. It may then be a bit easier once we've seen what is the logic of where you want to go with this. And as I said, I don't want to be misunderstood that what I'm saying here, that I'm showing a preference for one. What I am doing is highlighting certain things that I'm kind of worried of where it's going to go. But I'm not necessarily saying what you're doing is right or wrong at this stage. Because I honestly can't say, because I can't see what it is that we're going. I can't see the relationship with other projects. I don't know how we're going to still fit into this environment and culture cluster. And I just don't understand how all those things are going to work. Because these are coming all from different directions now. I myself, when I look at these three headings you've got here, I can see the word water four. But the working for fire, what else is going to fit under those projects? Are we creating new projects? I mean, are we going to add new programs and so on? Is that what this is the idea? So as I say, the input is just positive as far as I'm concerned and all a lot of good things. But I think at the moment, just as you're probably grappling with how you're going to consolidate all these things, unless we get an input to see how you want to consolidate, it's difficult for us to grapple with. But now we're talking into a vacuum again. I know Mr. Mateba wants to comment about he doesn't think that you've done correctly with the way you do your contracts and so on. Not? You want another comment? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, no. Mine is something that I think maybe that's what I want to give up from power and power. DG, I don't know whether they will interpret to you. You just think over it. As I was sitting here, I'm just imagining that part of this problem that we are experiencing about invasive alien species might be as a result of these big trucks that deliver goods across the borders. So I was thinking that maybe is there no way that the department can engage with the Department of Transport to maybe see what ways and means can they also contribute to make sure that they minimize distance. And also with the Department of Agriculture, that maybe it can't be something like spraying these trucks when they enter in the country to make sure that maybe we minimize these problems. Oh, and the issue here from Mama Ganya about wetlands. Mm-hmm. She's complaining a lot that why do you take it to France?
I didn't even want to go there. I just kept quiet when I heard them lauding all these things, but okay.
Thank
I think, by the way, that first one is, we're going to have to look at that first one. It creates a lot of the problems.
Thanks, Chair. I'm just looking at the EPWP versus the FTE. I don't think if the intention of the EPWP is to create full-time employment. I think the intention of the EPWP is to create temporary employment to as many people as possible. And I think if you look at the reporting process, I think if we can look at maybe at columns, like 1 to 50 days and get a figure, and 50 to 100 days, get another column. And I think let's have a look at that and how are these people being accommodated in each of the different groups, because that will give us a clearer picture instead of the FTE.
You see, I now that Ms. Wenger says it, you see, when you do this, you show us the target allocation and you show us environment. Then you take environment, you break it up into three subsections of government. And then here you do the same and you do it in three subsections. But then for the rest of it, you report as one. You understand? You just report figures from them. It's totally impossible to understand. What has local government done? What has provincial done? What has national done? It's even worse when you tell me there's culture. The Department of Culture is also somewhere here. So what you really need to do is when you break these things down next time when you give the report, you need to say, of the 200,000 jobs, 20,000 of those are culture. We're not reporting on that. There's local government is so much. We can tell you this, but we can't really report you because it's not. We don't get the money. We don't tell them. Provincial government is so that you get out of the way. You know, you must. You can't mix up the coordination of the cluster with what you do as your work in the national government. You understand? You have to keep the two separate so that one can understand them separately and explain them separately. You know, if you're telling us, I mean, your whole input was about how the Department of Culture, you're now writing letters to them because you don't really know what they're doing. So, I don't know. When it says environment and culture, your target is that, and you're telling me there's another department that's doing nothing that you have to write letters to. I don't know what part of the problem they're causing. Local government, that and so on. So when you guys do this report, you must be bear in mind that when they are a coordinating role that you have, that clearly has to be explained differently from this. And then we need to know. I mean, that we can't. As I sit here now, we cannot hold you account at the moment for the work you have had to do in terms of the hands-on environmental stuff, because I don't know what part of this is you're going to have to do. And what part is culture and what part are others? So I think those things. Now, I do, of course, accept that someone said to us this morning the input was much longer. It's been cut down. So I assume that everything I'm saying now is the cut down parts that haven't been explained. But even if it's so, I think that there is a problem in the way. And it's, again, it's trying to bring all these different. It's Dr. Preston and all these gangs, this SPPR, the public works, and trying to put it all somewhere. And you've had to explain them separately to us. But as I say, that's the kind of problems I have. As I walk out here now, I have a slight glowing fuzzy feeling. The only reason it's slight is because I don't know if it should be actually more radiant than that, because I don't know. That's my problem. You know, I may have walked out here almost walking on air, walking on water even, as some people have done. You know, you can, all those possibilities. But the problem is, at the moment as we stand here, it's very difficult to understand where we're going with this. And as I say, I don't know if you've discussed with the public works and that, how we still fit into it, I don't know. But we'll have to come and explain that to us, okay? COO, before I give the DG the last word.
Thanks, Chair. I think when we do our input to you over 3 days on the strategic plan, this would become much clearer in terms of how we move forward with the integrated program, because it will also demonstrate to you the sources of funding remain expanded public works for the work that is being done, for the cycle that we are reporting in, but will also demonstrate what are the other sources of funding, if any, because all the work that we are doing is we would continue to report into the cluster, because this would remain part of the expanded public work programs. That's not going to change. But how we're going to do it, we can certainly do as part of our strategic plan presentation to you, Jay. Jay, I just want to also mention there's some of the things that come from the past that we will also again need to give you feedback on. I think you would recall the green economy input that we've made in February last year, where we raised the challenge that while there is mechanisms and norms and standards in place to respond on the jobs in the expanded public works, there is still a vacuum, and I know that the Department of Public of Monitoring and Evaluation has been tasked to deal with this, is to set the norm and standard for the other jobs that is created directly as a result of government funding into projects or government projects. And we think, for example, about the type of work that Buyisa Ibag was doing that we're now doing, where there's also jobs created, and how do we report on those jobs, because they currently fall outside of the expanded public works program, but is part of the bigger green economy work that we are doing. In terms of the coordination, just to also some of the concerns that was raised around duplication, double counting, the relationship between the municipalities, the provinces, and ourselves, we've created a working group, a coordination structure under Outcome 10 that is specifically focusing at this in order to minimize it even more. Then I think a lot of the questions around the waste management issues, there's two things there that the committee should notice. The one is that waste services is actually the mandate of the Department of Cooperative Governance and at municipal level. But it is addressed in the Integrated Waste Management Strategy, which is part of your program for the next quarter, I think. So I think we will then be talking, and I will ask the waste management team for in that prep to also look at the practical work that we are doing in terms of assisting municipalities and the work that we're doing with DCOG as part of the Working for Waste, but also falling outside of the Working for Waste. And then obviously that will also include then in terms of we need to also give feedback to you in terms of where we are with the winding up of Buyisa Ibag, and that feedback will also be coming to you. And there's also implications in the Working for Waste on that. Thanks, TJ.
No, I think, you know, that's the best place to pull together, but I didn't want to put the pressure on you because it's 2 weeks away, 1 week away, and you may need some more thinking. But at least if you can do it there, or at least some of it will be good, okay? DG, last word.
Thanks, Chair and honourable members. As the chair was speaking, I was trying to really imagine the way what is going on in your mind in respect of what the expectation was on this presentation. I think I want to highlight just two things. Policy decisions on expanded public works program is taken somewhere else. Therefore, the nature of how we present the information is what is required in terms of that system. So they have defined what they want to track, which is why we are now using the full-time equivalent. It's not our own making. We probably could have preferred a different indicator. And Two, there is a greater emphasis now in the current policy direction on expanded public works programs for not much of an interest of on a long-term number of days of participation, which is why when you look even in terms of allocations of budgets, the emphasis even in the President's speech is to scale up the community works program. Community works program is programs where people actually work 4 days in a month, I think, in my own calculations, when I looked at their statistics. So if you have 20,000 people working 4 days in a month, then your figures look good, as if you have had so many people, but in terms of the job content, it's a short period. So I think in our programs, we can give you the information, I think your suggestion, Honourable Member, on the columns, on how, I mean, people that work for 50 days a year or 55 or 100 and what have you, that we can show, but that's not the requirement. So what we are then as a department expected to do, we have a role of coordinating the sector. And what we are presenting is the target for the sector. Because we are an environmental department, we have an interest in making sure that there's more programs that can add value to the environment, and we are not worried about that coordination, but it comes with other responsibilities attached to it. And that role, in terms of that slide, you were just given the feel in comparison, environment sector targets versus other sectors, infrastructure, social sector, and so on. The figures on delivery, they are ours. Those figures do not include arts and culture because it's environment and culture. It's only our department's. It's not the provincial department's figures. It's not municipality figures. It's all the investment that has been made that the department is accountable for. So therefore, that's why we presented those figures to the committee. But I think we can present the story much better to clarify that. The other issue that I thought we needed to just again highlight, but we'll again emphasize when we have the strategic planning session with the or presentation of the strategic plan to the committee. The EPWP focus will not change. We are working as we used to work with public works. The only thing that has happened physically is to have the natural resource management programs, the working for water program, coming to the Department of Environmental Affairs and therefore presenting an opportunity of consolidation. And that consolidation will be program six you've always had as a department, and that's where we've always shown the work on expanded public works. But now, yes, we are going to have broader management, but all of the people that work, that's why Honourable Member was talking about enterprises or SMEs. We involve other, most of those people that work in field, they are not department employees, Chair. They are working as expanded public works employees under an implementing agent or any other delivery mechanism, even with Isimangaliso. They have a contractor there that then contracts the workers. But in the relationship that you are referring to in terms of maybe some bulk management capacity that you need, that Dr. Preston was talking about the cost per job, but those are still accounted for in the public service. The jobs of people that manage expanded public works are not lost. They are reported for in the department's report when we report on the people that are employed in the public service. So I think what I think is more a challenge, which is what also we're highlighting there, is that the Department of Environmental Affairs is a small department, as correctly indicated. And if you are going to continue to expand, because the President is expecting us to step up employment through expanded public works program, and therefore, for the environment sector, our targets increase every year into the future, and therefore, we need to either diversify the existing programs or even look at potential new areas that are still in line with the environment sector. That then translates to the fact that you've had additional program, the PASAP programs coming from Water Affairs to the Department of Environmental Affairs, means that I have an additional increase on transactions that are taking place in the Department of Environmental Affairs. Administratively, those transactions, if you talk about the possible transaction cost, you talk about the capacity for financial management system. If, for argument's sake, we have to pay about or manage or at least run through additional 2,000 transactions per month, it has got implications for the financial systems, people that are needed to process that, and also without us losing the controls in respect to all the processes that must be in place for our audit purposes, and also not losing control of the capacity to monitor out there, those whatever then is delivered through these programs. We need to be saying those projects are there, and there is work that is productive work that is taking place. So that does require management and supervision, and you cannot avoid it regardless. So those are the kinds of costs that I think Dr. Preston was talking about, some millions of rents that in the department we are already having to excise, because public works programs are costing the public, the department, its systems, its capacity to manage everything within the control so that we continue to have clean audits. That we are not also compromising in the process, Chair. Thank you. But we are going to input differently and prepare the logic, and as we had your comments during the presentation.
This table Dr. Person gave me, SRPP, Working for Water, Working for Fire, the three budgets for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
The SRPP comes from through public works.
Yes, all of them.
All these three.
All of them are public works funding now. All of them.
So all the thing this young man with a nice face said, you've got a very honest face, I was just Dr. Beth, doesn't mean you've got a dishonest face, but this man's got a particularly honest face. So all the things he said of all the programs and so on, all that applies to Dr. Preston's input as well. You see, now that's the kind of thing maybe that creates problems, is that you have the two, and it's not, for me, very clear how they're fitting together. And I think once you've got one department, one program, that's what I want to see so we can engage with it. Even now, as I said, I started learning that, what you're saying, but even then I started getting an impression, no, this money from Dr. Preston is something else. But now you're telling me that also works exactly the same as the beginning input. I'm not going to ask how it got like that, but I'm just...
We'll try and give you a better presentation for the next session. Sure.
Dr. Huang, you want the last copy. You refuse to let the chair talk last. Dr. Huang, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just commented like the DG said, because he said per month only 4 days they are working. So this one, my concern is for today's meeting. We'd like to know from the DOE, Department of the Environment, what job creation by this department passed the last year, 2011. Because the president announced in the SONA, it's 365,000 job created by the 2011. So now it's a highlight. It's a person dead. Nobody understand what person dead. They must divide for 230. This is only for your department and the committee understand. Outside people don't understand. So I just say this one, working 4 days per month. Then the other 3 weeks, what these people doing? He's going outside the street. So this one not the job creation. So I just highlighted for this concern. For our department, matter more concern. You see, if actually page 11, you say it's a job creation, it's a target is 156,000, but actually only for 100,000. This is big minus, is a big difference of 556,000. So I just said it's a target, and actually it's over the 25% difference. You can't make it like this. So I think it is my concern. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right, I think it just reiterates the points we've made which makes it difficult for us to understand. I mean, really, not easy, I must say. But that doesn't distract from the fact that it's this meeting is, this presentation has come on very short notice. It was very well presented. I think I can speak for everyone, ecstatic with the work we do. I mean, that I don't think is the issue that's in dispute. I think the issue in dispute is if you want us as a committee to take on and become really champions for this kind of project, and wherever we want to talk for it, then we must understand how it works. If we don't understand how it works, we cannot fight for it. And again, for me, it's not a problem of the things the way you've done it. I personally think that the way I can see the whole public works thing has evolved, it's I know how it happens. I just think it could have been done better. So you fit into that picture. I mean, I understand all this. So I don't want to let anyone see this as a criticism of the work you're doing and in any way denigrating the huge achievements that you've made. I think it's as we move forward from here, I think there are bigger questions that I think we're not maybe dealing with to the extent that we should, to make sure that whatever we create out of where we are now is the best possible outcome for them. And you know, I think also it's particularly what Dr. Huang has mentioned, you know, this is a very important project for government. I mean, the president has staked a lot of his prestige, not just what we're doing here, of course, the whole public works thing. And you know, I think if we're going to project at what we're doing, I mean, if we think that it is we're doing a lot to actually employ people 4 days a month. I think if I'm one of those people that are employed for 4 days a month, for me it's the most important thing in my life. I've now got a job for 4 days. But I think then we must project it like that. We can't project it that that person who's getting a salary for 4 days a month is actually getting a full job and even a job for 6 to 8 or 9 months. That's not the truth of the matter, you know. So I think there's a way then of us accounting, and I can see again how a lot of this happens. This EFTS, what's it called? The FT. I know what that, I can just see. It happened in Nedlac, obviously. And what the union said, for us to be able to justify we're paying these people their salaries, we want to project this as full jobs. And the way to do it is to take the average and project as a full job. I can see it, and I can see the logic of it. But I don't think that that represents then what is happening truly on the ground in these projects. I mean, in my mind, I wonder to what extent the president knows that this is what we're doing. I mean, I'd be very interested to know if the president. I mean, I would be interested to know if the president adopted that program, thinking he's creating how many jobs, and actually, on average, if you look at it, 51 days of work a year. I mean, does he know that? Does he know that that's the outcome of the policy that we've adopted? And maybe it's a true reflection of the resources we have available, but then we must reflect it correctly. I mean, we can't then not reflect. Again, this is not necessarily a problem of yours, because you just deal with one little cluster in there. Obviously, the bigger part of that cluster is infrastructure and all those things, which have to do another report. But I do think that if everyone thinks that this is the way we're going, I think there's a much, much more honest and clearer way of reporting this and dealing with it. As I say, for me, even if you give up one person 1 day's work, it's a huge achievement as far as I'm concerned. I don't denigrate that fact. But the way then we deal with it, the way we explain it, and the way we then analyze on what we're doing, then we must do that a bit differently. Okay? And I think we're all on board on that. I think we all think the same. So I'm actually preaching to a converted, really. I mean, I'm not in any way doing it. I mean, I know that Dr. Preston would want to employ people to the maximum they can. So if they had the money, they'd do that, and to the numbers as well. All right, I think this was still a very worthwhile. I mean, I'm much more confused. I know things now that I definitely didn't know before this meeting, and at least it gives me a chance now to think about it and to take it forward, and it gives you time to start seeing how you can present it to the committee next time. Okay? So thank you very much. Dr. Preston, I want you to tell all your people that work for you that this committee appreciate all the work they do, the ones that put their lives on the line, those little firefighters. I mean, I've met them. They're amazing. They glow, and they're just proud of their job, and it's amazing to get people that are so committed. So from us, I want you to please tell your people, everyone, if you can write to every unit, every supervisor, and tell them, please read something to the staff.